Hello, and welcome to another fascinating issue of Charlie Cook's Insider Club audio programs, jam-packed with the most realistic, practical, and up-to-date money-making secrets. Your host is Charlie Cook. Charlie has been helping business owners attract more clients and maximize their profits for over two decades. And while most people were still trying to figure out how to use the web, Charlie sold his second website for just under $1 million. Today, Charlie is one of the most sought-after business mentors on the web and a best-selling author, recommended by some of the top marketing and sales experts of all time, including Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, J. Conrad Levinson, as well as online entrepreneurs like Yannick Silver. To get the maximum benefits out of this month's program, ask yourself these questions during the interview. How can I apply these ideas to my business and to my life? How can I do things differently and get better results? And what actions can I take today, this week, and this month to reach my goals? And you'll want to listen to the interview more than once. Every time you do, you'll discover new ideas, new strategies, and new ways to sell more of your products and your services. Make more money, and be more successful. Every business owner wants more attention for their business, more prospects, and more clients, and they want to get them for the least cost. Everybody in business knows this. The more business you can bring in, and the less you spend, the more money you'll make. So how can you get the biggest bang for your marketing buck? The answer is public relations, or PR. When you know the inside secrets to getting the press to do your marketing for you. On this CD, Charlie interviews Joan Stewart, media relations consultant, speaker, and trainer, and author of the Publicity Hound's Tips of the Week. Joan knows how to use the media to establish credibility and to sell more products and services. In the next few minutes, you'll discover how to leverage PR to attract more clients, make more sales, and increase your income.
Hello, this is Charlie Cook, and back in the late 90s, I launched a website, one that provided reviews of search engines. It was getting a modest amount of traffic until one day I decided to send out a short newsletter, essentially a PR piece, about the latest reviews on the site. I put together a short list of online editors and started emailing them the latest news about my site. What followed was beyond my wildest expectations. I started getting requests for interviews almost weekly. Traffic soared in a couple of months from 20,000 visitors to over 100,000 visitors a month. And then one of the editors on my list contacted me about buying the site. What I discovered was that for practically nothing, I could get the press to do my marketing for me with incredible results. Today, Joan Stewart is going to share with you the secrets of using public relations, PR, to do the same, to put your business on top. Joan, welcome to the call.
It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And I understand you were recently on vacation, and I just want to know, was riding a motorcycle 2,300 miles to Mount Rushmore a publicity stunt?
Absolutely not. I didn't do anything on vacation. I didn't tweet. I didn't go onto the internet once. I didn't worry about anything work-related. We just went, and my work stayed in my office. Sometimes that's really hard to do for us small business people.
Well, that sounds like great that you had the time to take that vacation. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background in public relations?
Oh, Kevin, it started way back when I was 10 years old. I had won, I was in 4-H. And I had entered a sewing project. It was an apron in the Ohio State Fair, and I won a blue ribbon for it. And my local weekly newspaper where I lived in Maple Heights, Ohio, wrote a story on it. It was just a tiny little article saying that I got a blue ribbon, but I was just so bowled over by that. And I think I knew from a very young age that I wanted to become a newspaper reporter or an editor because I loved to write and I also loved current events. So that combination of the two made a career as a journalist just seemed like a natural for me. And I was in the newspaper business for about 22 years, mostly as an editor and reporter. And I left 13 years ago to start my business as a publicity expert.
Well, that was very astute of you to leave before paper started to vanish as a medium.
Oh, you, that's for sure. I tell people I left 13 years ago and just in time. Yeah, these papers are, they've got a rocky road ahead of them.
So what caused you to, you know, make that decision, to make the transition from, you know, being in the news business to being in the public relations business?
I think part of it was I was very frustrated in the newspaper business. It's not fun to be in an industry where you're constantly seeing sales figures decline, and they had been declining for a long, long time. Because when I got into the business in 1974, when I got my first job, I mean, the numbers were even slipping back then, and the erosion just got worse as time went on, and it just became, you know, a constant struggle to try to get readers, to try to keep readers, and to try to love your job. And it got to the point where I didn't love my job anymore.
So speaking of sort of declining interest, or actually in print media, I have a sort of a bone to pick about PR, and I think this is sort of the stereotype of what a lot of people think of in terms of public relations. They sort of associate it with, you know, writing a release and sending it to the press and hoping somebody picks it up and reads it. And one of the, you know, ways people can do this online, obviously, as you know, is using PR Web.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically I've, you know, browsed the releases that are on PR Web, and I look at them, and it's the best way for me to make sure I have a good night's sleep. They're so boring.
Oh, no kidding.
So, you know, given that, and that's what people think about PR, what are the top reasons most small business owners, PR doesn't work?
Well, one of the big reasons, and you just mentioned it, you said there are all these press releases on PR Web, and they're super boring. And I want to sort of explain what this whole process is like today versus what it was like 20 years ago when I was working in the industry. 20 years ago, if we wanted a story, we could usually get it only one of two ways. Okay, if we wanted publicity, we had to either write a press release and send it into the newspaper or to the TV stations, or we had to pick up the phone directly and call them, okay? And we had to hope and pray that they liked our pitch or they liked our press release. And if they didn't like it, we were pretty much up a creek. We were on our own. There wasn't much we can do if the traditional media wouldn't pay attention to us. But today, all that has changed, because today, people can become their own media outlets. And we'll get into this as this hour progresses, and I'll share with small business people some ways that you can become your own media outlet and push your message out to the masses. It's not as hard as you think. But let's get back to those press releases. You're right. You're absolutely correct. Most of those press releases on PR Web are more potent and sleeping pills. I tell people, if you can't sleep at 3 a.m., go on to prweb.com and start reading some of those releases. They are awful. And that's why, even today, journalists in the traditional media hardly ever get their stories by reading press releases, because their press releases are just awful. And the people who usually get their attention are the people who know how to pitch, a good story idea.
So, you know, in terms of mistakes that small business owners make in terms of public relations, having a boring press release is probably the number one.
That's one of them. Let me name a couple. I think another big mistake, and you alluded to this in your introduction when you introduced me. You said that you sent out notifications to a short list of journalists, and that's exactly the way you're supposed to do it. A big mistake I see is small business people will try to push their message out to 800 media outlets at the same time. Now, look at all the there are more media outlets today than ever. I mean, look at just all the cable news shows and all the cable channels now compared to what it was like 20 years ago. And there are more specialty publications today than ever. You can't take the same message and push it out to 700 media outlets and have the decision maker at that media outlet say to themselves, aha, this pitch is perfect for our audience. because the audiences are so segmented. So you did it the right way. You targeted a very short list, and I'm assuming you probably did your homework first, and you checked to see which journalists would be most interested in the story that you had to tell. So don't try to push your message out to a wide audience. Also, don't aim for the top right away. If you have no publicity, for heaven's sake, please don't email me and ask me how to get onto Oprah.
Okay. So, you know, we've talked about some of the things here that can go wrong with PR. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, where's the beef? What are the reasons that every small business owner should be using PR?
Well, you mentioned this in your introduction, too. You use the word free. Good publicity, even sometimes not so good publicity, is still free. I mean, even if you get a tiny little mention in the back of your local weekly newspaper, you don't have to pay for it. And I don't know about you, but I can't afford to pay the advertising rates that even some of the weeklies are charging. So I do everything I can to turn it into free publicity. That's my audience. My audience is all about free. I'm doing all of this on a shoestring. Another reason is that, and you probably found this out, as a matter of fact, I think you emailed me this. You told me that after you started to get publicity, that it sort of started to snowball.
Exactly.
And that's because journalists read each other's publications, and they watch each other's TV shows, and newspaper people watch television, television people watch newspapers, radio people read newspapers. They're all interrelated. And so if there's a good story out there, chances are pretty good you're going to hear from another journalist. And what's so fun about getting all this free publicity, it's like watching a snowball roll downhill. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So those are the main reasons. It's free, and it builds on itself, and you don't have to rely on expensive paid ads.
And one of the other things I might add to that is that, you know, when each of us tries to market our own service or products, it's sort of like hearing one hand clapping. But when someone else prints your story, whether it's the Kansas City Daily or, you know, the New York Times or whatever, obviously the bigger the and more well-known the publication, the better it works. They're, in essence, endorsing you and your products and your services, which does a great job of helping you establish credibility and develop the trust you need with your potential prospects and clients.
That's correct. Absolutely.
You know, I'm sure there's some people, I know who are listening to the call, and I know a lot of small business owners, you know, typically don't use PR. So I'm hoping you can give me, a few examples of small businesses that have used PR, what the problems they were dealing with was, and you know, what it did for them, and how much their sales grew.
Okay. Well, there are two people in particular who I'm thinking of. The first one, his name is, let me think, it's Jason Claybrook, and he's actually a PR specialist, and he works for a company, a sports optical company. They have optical wear, and they make little compact binoculars, for example, for travelers. And they had been trying to reach out to their audience through a wide variety of different media, but it never dawned on them that the place to reach out to travelers and to find people who travel, who can buy these compact binoculars, are the people who fly on airplanes. And what do people who fly on airplanes read? They read the in-flight magazines. And Jason had been reading tips in my newsletter about how if you can get into an in-flight magazine, and sometimes you don't even have to have a great story idea. All you need is a great product. You don't even have to have a pitch. If, you know, a lot of these magazines have new product sections, and I'm guessing that what he did was he probably just sent a press release and a photo about his compact binoculars into the in-flight magazine, and Delta's in-flight magazine featured his product in its splurge of the month section. This was back in, I think, 2002, and they got tremendous response from travelers all around the world, and it let them tap into a market that company needed exposure in. and they were all the in-flight, the people who travel on airplanes and who are 36,000 feet in the air, and a lot of them don't have anything to do. So if you have a product or service that appeals to travelers, especially business travelers, you ought to be pitching the in-flight magazines. Another small business person, Michelle Tennant, she was one of the first people who started following me. She had a tiny little boutique public relations firm in North Carolina, and she started following me. She eventually got into my mentor program. She was in it for, I think, 3 or 4 years, and she has gone on to become a top-notch publicist who gets a lot of her clients, and a lot of them are small business people, publicity in big publications like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, USA Today. She gets them on Good Morning America, and she learned a lot of what she does just by reading my newsletter and using my mentor program and following and just going doing what I tell her to do. You know, that's a large part of it. Because you know this, Charlie, you can throw around all the great ideas, and people listening to us today, if you walk away with 36 ideas, none of them are of any value unless you follow through and do them.
Absolutely. So in essence, and particularly I think in this economy, you know, everybody's sort of bemoaning how terrible things are and how sales are down, but I have a very simple strategy, which is that the greater your reach, the more money you're going to make, and it doesn't matter what kind of economy you're in. So if you can increase your reach by 30%, your sales were down, you know, 15, well, you'll still come out ahead. So obviously PR is a great way to extend your reach at relatively low or you know, no cost.
That's right, and it's okay. You can extend your reach even if you're in a niche market where you have a very narrow audience out there of people who would be, you know, in the market to buy whatever it is you're selling. You can still have a big reach. You can reach a lot of those people in that niche easily through PR.
So before we get into the details of how small business owners can better use PR for their businesses, you mentioned earlier that the landscape, the PR landscape, has changed. And obviously, you know, you look at magazines out there. I mean, the one I'm familiar with, because I used to help them on their advertorials, was Fortune and Forbes, and they used to be the thickness of a, you know, half the thickness of a Sears Roebuck catalog, and now they're the size of a comic book. And the, you know, online communication has sort of picked up. Tell me, you know, what you see in terms of PR, where the opportunities are now.
Oh, the landscape has changed so much. I use 20 years because that's when I was actively involved in journalism 20 years ago, and boy, everything has changed. As you know, newspapers are marching toward the graveyard. I've heard people say that they wouldn't be surprised if in 15 years the newspaper as we know it today is non-existent. However, you can still get newspaper publicity, if not in the printed edition. Most newspapers have online editions. So if you can't get into the printed edition, which is shrinking, there might be some opportunity for you to get online. Magazines, there are specialty magazines for whatever topic happens to float your boat. But for every specialty magazine that launches, another one is folding because the magazines are finding it real difficult to get ad revenue. People in the radio business are singing the blues. These stations are getting bought up quickly. Staffs are being cut. Radio is a tough, tough business to be in. And, you know, and for TV, you know, you can still get TV publicity. You can still get on to TV shows in your market if you know how to pitch. And I think there's some good opportunities for television, and there are also some opportunities to actually create your own TV shows. And for very inexpensively, you can get your own national TV show for about $400 a month by simply buying time on the least access channels for cable television and targeting the cities that you want to be in. That's a great way to have your own national TV show. So today, you don't have to rely on these traditional media anymore. It's great if you can get into your daily newspaper in the front page of the feature section, and yeah, it's great if you can get your story on the 10 o'clock news, but I also tell people, learn how to be the media. You know, you should be pushing out videos on YouTube. You should be writing articles that are all over the internet. You can do podcasting and basically have your own online radio show. There are all kinds of ways to be the media and to publish content so that we don't have to only rely on traditional media.
But I think the key point is that, you know, while I still, you know, go out in the morning before breakfast and grab the New York Times and bring it in and read it during breakfast, the majority of people, my son, my daughter, the people who work for me, don't read the paper anymore. At least they don't read the physical paper. They read it online. So the eyeballs have shifted, and the attention has shifted away from print, which is obviously why it's going away, and into the online media, which it seems where the real PR opportunities are.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I don't think anybody, very few people under 30, even read newspapers anymore.
I think you're right there. So, you know, given that, my sort of perception of PR from years past was, you know, the key was to write the compelling story and then get it picked up by the big publication. But at this point, is that true, or has the web made PR more democratic and harder to figure out where to get?
Well, I think it's much more democratic from the standpoint of anybody can push their message out. Anybody. You don't have to be talented, and you don't have to be schooled in public relations to be able to use YouTube effectively. If you can create a great 2.5-minute video and post it to YouTube and tag it with keywords that consumers are using when they type things that they're looking for into Google, you can get in front of huge numbers of people. And that's why with today's public relations is as much about direct to consumer as it is trying to get into the traditional media outlets. With traditional media, you have to work through somebody else to get the message out. With doing public relations on the internet, you don't. You just push it out there. And, you know, we no longer have to rely on an editor who we pitch an idea to tell our story. We can tell it ourselves online. That's why the internet is so incredibly powerful for PR.
So we've got traditional media and the internet are sort of, you know, the two basic avenues. You know, maybe you can give an example of a client, or you know, imagine typical small business owner is thinking, okay, Joan's convinced me I should be doing something with PR. Where do I start? Do I start with the traditional media? Do I start with internet? You know, what's the sequence? Where can I get the biggest bang for the buck? And what's going to be the, you know, the quickest? And what's going to be the slow burn but long term best effect, et cetera?
Okay, what I would start by doing, I would encourage everybody who wants publicity, whether it's through traditional media or whether it's through the internet, is to figure out what the topic is that you're an expert in. Okay, that's the first thing I want you to do. And when I get to this part in my live workshops, inevitably somebody's hand goes up and they say, oh, I would never think of passing myself off as an expert. You know, I'm not the one person in the whole world who knows the most about my topic. And I tell them that's not what an expert necessarily is. To be an expert, you don't have to be the one person in the whole world, or you don't even have to be the top 100 people in the whole world who know the most about your topic. You just need to be able to discuss your topic intelligently and pass along helpful information to people who are having a problem in the area where you happen to be an expert. And if you can share helpful information and you can share background and you can offer some commentary, most likely you're an expert. But you may be an expert sort of at the bottom rung of the ladder, and then as you proceed in your business, you enhance and grow that expertise so that eventually you could become one of the top experts in your industry. The traditional media loves experts, okay? They interview them all the time. They're on Nightline. They're on the covers of magazines. Consumers like experts. They go to experts to solve their problems.
And one of the key points I think you're making there is, you know, I think people go, well, I'm, you know, how can I be the expert? I'm not the smartest person on the topic. And I think the key point you're making there is that it's not being the smartest person that establishes you as the expert. It's the person who does the best job of sharing their knowledge that defines you as the expert. So if, you know, there's somebody with a PhD in your topic, and you only have a master's or just a college degree, if you talk about it more, share more information than the person with the PhD, you're the better expert.
That's right. And here's what I think everybody should be doing who hopes to position themselves an expert. And you can do this. You can start doing it today, and it's only going to take you, it's going to take you less than 15 minutes to get started. Okay? And what that thing is blogging. I think everybody who wants to be considered an expert in their field needs to have their own blog. And I know what a lot of people are thinking. I don't have a technical bone in my body. I wouldn't know how to get a blog started. Well, let me show you how to do it in less than 15 minutes. Go to blogger.com, B-L-O-G-G-E-R.com. Blogger.com is owned by Google. You can get your own blog created for free. And with a simple three-step process, and you could be blogging today, and the search engines could be pulling in traffic to your blog as soon as you start writing. And if you write about problems that people are having and how to solve them, look for interesting articles online in your topic area and comment on them. Blogs are a terrific way to pull in traffic, to get attention, and also get the attention of the media, because media people are always using Google to find sources for stories.
That's an excellent suggestion. I might just add that, you know, the next level is, and actually my first blog was on blogger.com, is to move over to WordPress, which is another blogging function. It's a little more sophisticated, and you may have to pay, you know, a web designer, depending on, you know, how you want to set up for an hour or two of setup, but it enables you, has a lot of tools that are very SEO friendly to help your blogs get ranked at the top of the search engines. Or there's another thing that you can do, and a lot of people don't really seem to think of this one, is if you don't feel like you're a great writer, you don't feel like, you know, you want to invest the time in writing all sorts of blog posts, you can create a blog that hosts other experts. And by you being the person throwing the party, people see you as the expert who's handpicked the experts, which is exactly one of the things that I'm doing on my site at the marketingforsuccess.com blog, is I now feature my top pick of the experts in marketing and sales and in PR, and it has an incredible effect on driving your traffic through the roof. It's just unbelievable, because all of a sudden, instead of having to, you know, worry about writing 2-3 posts a day or whatever you might want to write, you have other people contributing them to you for free so that they get publicity, and it also helps you get publicity.
That's correct. And I also wanted to tell you that I absolutely agree with your recommendation to move over from Blogger to WordPress. But I don't recommend WordPress right off the bat. If anybody's curious about blogging and you want to get one set up quickly, you can do it with Blogger. But if you're blogging for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and you can post a couple times a week and you're disciplined enough to stick with it, go ahead and move that blog over to WordPress, which is free. And like Charlie said, it'll cost you some money to get your, you know, webmaster to get you set up on WordPress, but once you're on it, you'll love it.
Great. Well, I'm in complete agreement with you there. First, they've identified themselves as an expert. Next, blogging. What's the next thing people can do?
Let me go back to blogging real quickly, because I want to mention something else related to blogs that people can do. You don't have to have your own blog to be able to comment at other people's blogs. Commenting at other people's blogs, particularly at blogs that tie into and are read by people who want somebody in your area of expertise, are incredibly powerful. By commenting at other blogs, I have pulled traffic to my website. I have had people sign up for my newsletter. I have gotten consulting clients. I even was invited by one of the bloggers who read my comment to be a guest blogger at his blog, which was pretty cool. So go ahead and post comments at other people's blogs. That's another great way to promote your expertise. Let's say you're going through traditional media. One of the things that you should begin by doing is targeting the traditional media outlets that are in the best position to help you get your message across. Once you have targeted them, you want to track down the one person at each outlet who's going to be your key contact. This could be a beat reporter, let's say, who covers small business. It could be the small business reporter at your local daily paper, or let's say it could be a columnist. If you happen to be in a health-related area in your small business, it might be a health columnist. That should be your key contact. Next comes your research. I don't want you to contact any of these people until you've thoroughly researched them. Read what they write. Read what they write. Read several weeks' worth of stuff. Get a good understanding of the topics that they feel are important. Go on to Google and Google their name and see what you find. If you find, for example, that this small business reporter who you eventually want to get to know has his own blog, you've just hit gold.
Okay.
Just struck gold, because that blog's going to tell you all the things that he thinks are important. And you could possibly, at some point, let's say a couple weeks down the road when it comes time to pitch a story, if you could tie that story into something he's written in his blog, boy, is he going to be impressed.
How about commenting on their blog?
Oh, I tell people that if you can find a journalist who you want to get in front of, start commenting at their blog. And comment maybe a couple times a week. Don't overdo it, because you don't want them to think that you're stalking them. But comment twice a week, and make sure that your comments are intelligent, and you don't necessarily even have to agree with what they've written. You can add your two cents to what they've written. You can disagree with it. You can offer more information. That's a terrific way to get them to find out who you are long before you pick up the phone to call them.
That's great advice, because obviously if you want someone to pick up a story that you're going to come up with, you want to have some toehold of a relationship with them, and the stronger that is, the more likely they are to respond to your requests.
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't know if this is next on your list, but one of the things that seems to be the big issue is, so you've got somebody you've targeted, you've got the publication that you've targeted, and hopefully you've got some connection with them so they'll respond when you're ready to send them something. But the big elephant in the room is, what do you pitch? What's the story? How do you come up with a great story that anybody's going to want to read?
Well, I think the best way, there are all different kinds of stories that people want to read, but I think the one story formula, if there's one way that you can come up with a great story idea for your business to pitch, the best way to think of one is to ask yourself, what's the number one problem that my customers face? That's a great question to ask yourself, because that your answers, your solutions to that problem, or your tips or advice that can help the people struggling with that problem becomes the story. That becomes the story idea that you pitch. For example, one of a huge problem right now that people in my target audience are struggling with, it's a huge problem, is how to get into social media, because it's so incredibly confusing. So if I were going to pitch a story idea about my business to the local media, let's say I'm pitching it to the editor of a small business magazine, I would, first of all, go to that editor's blog and see if I can track down some things about that editor. And let's say I find that she has a blog, and I find that she's complaining about how difficult Facebook is for her to understand. What I'm going to do is I'm going to spend some time at her blog commenting, and then a couple weeks later I'm going to call her up and say, Sally, this is Joan Stewart. You may not recognize the name, but I've been commenting at your blog the last couple weeks, and I noticed that you are incredibly frustrated by Facebook. You're not alone. So are thousands of other people. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in 10 surefire ways to make Facebook easier to understand. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? See what I mean? I'm solving her problem, and I'm solving the people who follow me. I'm solving their problem, too, by offering my tips on how to help them. So that the problem-solution pitch is a great one. Here's another good one. As a small business person, anytime you can piggyback onto a super hot topic that everybody is talking about, you are almost guaranteed publicity. And the one topic right now that's on everybody's minds, and it is incredibly controversial, is the whole healthcare debate.
So give me an example of how somebody might piggyback on that.
One of the things that you could do is, let's say you're a small business person and you can't afford to buy health insurance because you just started out your business and you barely got money coming through the door, and you are in favor of a certain version of the health care plan passing because you want, you know, to be able to have your health needs met or whatever. I would start by contacting my local newspaper if I do business in my local community and telling them that if they are ever doing a story on how local people are taking one stand or the other in the healthcare debate, to please contact you, and here's why. Then state your case. On the other hand, if you happen to be the type of a business owner who pays your own health insurance premiums and you would just like the government to leave you alone because you don't want them to mess with your health care, which is between you and your doctor, call your local newspaper and offer yourself as an example of somebody who is against nationalized health care. Okay? And if they don't go for your pitch, you also have the option of writing an opinion piece for your local paper or a letter to the editor.
Or even better, if you provide some form of health care, you can, you know, add your 2 cents to the discussion too that way.
Sure. Or if you have tips, let's assume that national health care is gonna go through for the time being. If you happen to be able to offer advice to people on how to get into see your doctor more quickly or something, whatever, you know, go ahead and offer it. Anything that will help people solve a problem is a great pitch. So think problem to solution. That's a great pitch. And another great way of pitching is to try to solve people's problems by offering helpful information.
And all those ideas you just suggested support the one you initially started off with, which is identify a topic that you're expert in and then continually establish yourself as that expert through the information that you share.
Right. Here's another one. Celebrities. Yeah, celebrity news. Anytime you can give advice to the celebrities, that's great. And I'll give you a recent example. We had three people within 1 week have anger management issues. We had Kanye West, we had Serena Williams, and we had Joe Wilson, the congressman who told Obama, "You lie," all within 1 week. If someone happens to be an anger management expert, let's say you do corporate consulting and you're an anger management expert, and you could have pitched your tips on how to keep your cool when you're ready to pop your top and tied it in to those three people. That would have been terrific.
My top five anger management tips for Joe Wilson.
Yeah, no, I'd make it for Joe Wilson, Serena Williams, and Kanye West, because all three of them were mad. Here's another great one, how to apologize correctly. How do you, if you're going to apologize for something that you did wrong, how do you issue a great apology versus a lukewarm, half-hearted apology that nobody's going to believe? That'd make a great story that ties into those three people.
Good idea. So, one area I want to get into, you know, before we run out of time today is, you know, you mentioned social media, and there's Twitter, Facebook, Dig. There are also, you know, Craigslist, online media, blogs, YouTube, Google Alerts. There's this whole morass of online ways you can get your message out there. For someone who's, you know, just getting started in trying to use social media and the online outlets, in addition to their blog, what's the place that they should focus on and what's most effective?
That's a hard, hard question. That's a really hard question. Okay, if regardless of whether or not you're blogging, okay, either you are or you aren't, either dedicated to it or you're not, the next thing I think you should do is start setting up Google Alerts for your area of expertise. And what you're basically doing is you're going to have Google deliver to you, and I recommend you have them deliver it to you once a day. Content from the web, other people's articles, other people's videos, blogs, anything Google finds online in your area of expertise. Let's use anger management as an example. You happen to be an anger management expert. You want to set up a Google alert for anger management, and every day you're going to look through that content to see if there's something you can blog about or if there's a celebrity-related story that you can tie into. Google's going to give you all kinds of comments. So you've now got all this comment at your, all this stuff, this content at your disposal that you can use in your publicity campaign. The next thing I think you need to start doing is getting onto Twitter. And if you're not Twittering, you should be starting. And I know what 3/4 of the people listening to this are going to think. Who cares about what I ate for lunch? I don't think anybody cares about what I ate for lunch. And you're right. Most people don't care what you ate for lunch. So when you're on Twitter, you're not going to write about what you ate for lunch. What are you going to do? You're going to pass along helpful tips that you find in all of that content that Google is delivering to you as a result of your Google alerts.
Okay, and so help me out here. I've got a great tip. I Twitter in my, whatever it is, 140 characters.
Uh-huh.
How
and
do
you're
I...
going to link to the article
okay.
by putting the URL in the little window and shortening it, or you go to, there are various programs you can use that shorten the URL for you. You can use Tiny URL or Snip URL, and you're going to put a little link to that helpful article. You know, 7 ways to keep cool when you're ready to pop your cork when you're fighting with your kids or something like that. And you're going to link to the article. If one of your Twitter followers clicks on that article, clicks on that link, and goes to the article and gets terrific tips from that article that help them in their life, you've just become a hero. And they're going to continue to follow you because they're going to want to see what else you're tweeting about. If you go to Twitter.com and follow me, and my Twitter handle is PublicityHound, take a look at my tweets. The 8 out of 10 of my tweets are helpful articles and other tips that help people either in my target audience solve a problem, or they're general tips of a general nature that help people solve problems. I did one last week. I found an article online. Do you smell? 16 reasons why you might smell bad and how to freshen up your act or something like that. I tweeted about that because I thought that was an interesting article that people might want to read. And I had all kinds of people retweet it. It was really cool. So pass along helpful information in Twitter. I also think Craigslist can be terrific, particularly for those of you who do business in your own community. You have to be very careful about posting to Craigslist. You can't cross-promote on more than one city's list. So if you live in Cleveland, Ohio, and you do business in Cleveland, Ohio, or northeastern Ohio, get onto the Cleveland Craigslist and start posting your press releases up there and all kinds of other information about what it is that you have going on in your business.
Okay, so press releases on Craigslist. And again, that's free to post those?
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
And so in addition to tweeting, Craigslisting, what else would you recommend?
Video. Go out and buy yourself a little flip video camera. Most of you probably know what a flip video is. It's about as big as a pack of cigarettes. It is incredibly simple, stupid to use. I'm a techno idiot. I don't know anything about technology. Even I can use a flip, though I don't even know how much they are, but the price keeps coming down. Go get some great little 2.5-minute videos of yourself sharing helpful information in your area of expertise and upload those little 2.5-minute videos to YouTube. And tag them with keywords, the same keywords that people would be typing into Google to find the answers to the problem that you're talking about. And you will start to pull in traffic to your website or to your blog.
And, you know, one thing I might add to that is that the more entertaining you can make those videos, the more likely people are to send them around and share them, and the more effective they'll be.
Well, yes and no. go. You know, the videos that we all know and love, like, Charlie, are you familiar with the Willard Blend videos?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, everybody knows about the Willard Blend videos. There's a company that makes these industrial blenders, and they throw all these weird things into a blender to see if they'll blend, like golf balls and all kinds of stuff. And those videos are really entertaining, so they get passed around a lot. Well, those are usually the ones that become viral and get millions and millions and millions of views. But if it's a helpful video, that also can become viral. You could do a video offering 6 tips on how to solve a particular problem and then contact a couple of bloggers who write about that topic and see if they're interested in writing about your video or at least featuring it on their blog. And if they happen to be a big, well-known blogger who has a huge audience, it sometimes only takes one mention from a blogger before other bloggers start to pick up on it and it starts to go viral. And, you know, Charlie, you asked about the difference between traditional media and online media. Traditional media seldom refer to each other. I can't remember the last time I saw the New York Times mention anything that the Washington Post had done.
Well, they don't want to mention the competition, but online, that's completely different.
It's completely different. What do bloggers do? They're always linking to each other.
So one of the things that you're suggesting there is, well, you know, it used to be the big kahuna in terms of getting your publicity was finding the right reporter at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, or Time Magazine, or whatever it is. Nowadays, your short list of people who have influence with your target market should be the blogs that get the greatest amount of traffic in your topic area.
That's a good way to put it. And remember that little YouTube example I used? You're making videos to push out to YouTube. You're creating your own YouTube channel. You can create your own channel on YouTube. You can become your own TV program. You don't have to wait for your local TV station to put you on the air. You can get onto the air, onto the Internet, for free, extremely quickly, just by producing video. So that's a good example about how you are becoming the media.
So one of the issues that comes up for some people, and maybe they're just, you know, there isn't a good answer for this, I don't know, but is a lot of online marketers like pay-per-click ads, and they pay gazillions of dollars a month for them. And one of the reasons they like them is because they can track the result. They can see how many people clicked in their ad, how many people, you know, went from their ad to their sales page, and how many people went from their sales page to actually, you know, buying something. With PR, you can't really do that, can you?
You can't do it to that degree of specificity, but what you can do is you can still track the results. And I'm glad you asked this question because a lot of people don't know how to track results of a PR campaign. In the old days, you know how we used to track it? We track it by how many clips we got in the newspaper, in newspapers and magazines. You know, publicists would take a huge pile of clips into their client and say, look at all this interest I got. Look at all the clips I got for you. I did a great job. Well, that doesn't fly anymore. I think the right way to track it is to ask yourself, even before you start a PR campaign, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish with this? Let's say, for example, how I want to draw traffic to my website. Okay, let's say my website doesn't have much traffic and I want to boost traffic to my website, but I want a way of measuring where that traffic is coming from. One of the things I could do is write a press release and post it on PR Web, like what we talked about, and put in the press release a call to action and say something like, you know, for more free publicity tips, every week, go to publicityhound.com and sign up for the Publicity Hound's Tips of the Week. And you could give a unique URL in that press release so that when you go to check your website statistics, you can see exactly how many people clicked on that link from your press release that was on PR Web and went into your website to sign up for your newsletter. So that's one way to track it. You can track through through email signups. You can give away something for free. You can mail out something for free. If you're going to do a free report, I would urge you to give it for free online so that you don't have to print it and mail it. But you might have a little something that you give out as a product sample. You can say, before you begin your PR campaign, I want to be able to encourage 1,000 people to request my product, and then go see if you can reach that goal. That's how you track the success of a PR campaign. You have to ask yourself before you begin, what is it that I'm trying to do, and what is it that I'm going to measure?
Good point. It brings up two follow-up questions, which is, one, you mentioned free reports or a freebie. How helpful is that to make that sort of an integral part of your PR campaign?
Oh, I think it's incredibly helpful because you don't want to just get your message out there to people. You want to get people into your funnel, into your product funnel, into your sales funnel. And the best way to do that is with a free report. That there are all different kinds of ways that you can deliver a free report to people. You could have a free report at your website and just put it on a page at your website and give people a link to go to read the report. And then while they're there, you can ask them for their email address. You can have it delivered via autoresponder. But free reports are terrific because they give you a way to further promote your expertise. And you can also stick product links in there. You can stick links to your blog posts. If they request your report and if they read it, you've got their attention.
Absolutely. And I have one other question, detail question for you, which is you mentioned PR Web. And one of the things that's always befuddled me is I go there and if I want to submit a press release, there are all these options that you can spend, I don't know, practically nothing to hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I always look at those and go, well, how effective is the $60 option versus the $100 or $200 option? What's your suggestion there? What works for PR Web? How much is it worth spending to get a press release?
Okay. If you are going to, first of all, study how to write a good press release and how to make sure that you have relevant keywords in your press release, how to make sure you have a good hook in your press release, how to make sure you have a call to action in your release. I would do that first before you even think about paying for online press release distribution because that's really hard. And I'll give you a great free way to learn how to do it. I have a free email course on how to write and distribute press releases online. If you go to 89pressreleasetips.com, you can sign up for the free course and you'll get it via autoresponder, one lesson a day. There are 89 lessons, and yeah, it's a long course, but by the time you're done, you'll know how to write a press release. Once you've done all of that, I would experiment with it. I have heard people say they get fabulous results even from I think the lowest level on PR Web is $80.
Yes.
And then there's a level that I think is a $230 or something like that. The people who are really, they track all of their traffic, they do keyword research, a lot of those people swear by that higher level. So I would say before you even spend a penny, make sure you know how to write it.
Good advice.
Otherwise, your efforts and your money is wasted.
Absolutely. Now, we're running out of time here, and I just want to, before we wrap up, make sure that everybody here has two bits of information. One is you mentioned how to get a hold of you. Maybe you can mention the best way for people to get a hold of you again. And the other is I think you mentioned something about a special offer for listeners.
Sure. Let me tell you how to get in touch with me. You can call me at 262-284-7451, or you can email me at jstewart@publicityhound.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/publicityhound, or you can go to my website at publicityhound.com and find everything you need there.
Okay, and before you get into the special offer, maybe you can just give a brief overview of, if I do want to contact you, what are the services that you offer?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. You can contact me and do private consulting with me. If you only want to buy 15 minutes of my time, that's fine. I could review your press releases. I will not rewrite them for you. I think it's important that you understand how to rewrite them, so I would teach you how to take a bad release and turn it into a good release. You can run story pitches by me if you have an idea and you can't think of a way to pitch it, or you can't think of any great ideas for your business. Give me a call, and I will help walk you through that. I also have a more long-term mentor program for people who want long-term access to me. You can join for either 6 months or a year, and that comes with unlimited access to me, including you can use me as your personal writing coach. I will review everything you write that goes out there and show you how to make it better.
Great. And again, the special offer you wanted to share?
Sure. I have a special offer for anybody who's listening to this in your audience. If you go to my website at publicityhound.com, take a look around, and I've got a lot of free stuff that you can take advantage of. I've got the blog posts. I've got all the free articles. I also have products that you can buy that go into a lot more depth on a lot of topics we talked about in this last hour. If you tell me that you heard about me from Charlie Cook, you can take anything at my website and products only, and just cut the price in half.
That sounds like a very good deal.
But it's only for people who heard about it here. And you can, again, call me at 262-284-7451. You'll find all kinds of good stuff there. If the list of products is overwhelming and you don't know what you need, call me and I'll help you work through it and I'll make some suggestions for you.
Great. Well, Joan, this has been a fantastic talking with you and fantastic getting all this great information about how to take something that we all have sitting there that we could be using for free to grow our businesses. And I really appreciate your taking the time to be with us today.
Well, great questions. Thanks a lot.